You're listening to an MKFM news special.
MKFM.
Tuesday night then, Ben Everett is with us, the MP for Milton Keynes North. Hello, Ben.
Good evening, Darren. Nice to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. A very busy time for you, I guess.
It's very busy, yes. Obviously, we've got the situation in Ukraine and what's going on here in Milton Keynes as well. So very busy, specifically talking about knife crime, about the police response, about joining things up with the courts and the CPS and making sure that we've got the right interventions to really sort this problem out.
Yeah, and obviously that's why we're here tonight, to talk about what's going on with crime and policing here in Milton Keynes. I think a lot of people, even myself, are a bit confused really with what's going on and the numbers, because at the end of the day, the country's run by the Conservatives. The Police and Crime Commissioner is Conservative. You and Ian Stewart are Conservative. But we've got all these different numbers flying around. You know, what are the crime rates in Milton Keynes? Is knife crime up or down? How many police officers have we got? And it seems to be very, very hard to get a straight answer. Like, as you know, we had Matthew Barber in yesterday. He repeated what Mark said a few months ago, that on the whole, knife crime is down in Milton Keynes. I've seen something from you over the last few days where you say it's 90% up. Maybe you could kind of explain what is actually going on, because at the moment, you're surrounded with all these different numbers. It's very hard to work out where we are, apart from it seems that someone's trying to lead someone down the garden path.
Ultimately, Darren, the numbers come second to the fact that people have died recently, and it's a tragedy when that happens, a real tragedy. On paper, knife crime is down, violent crime is down. The statistics year on year show that knife crime is down. It just doesn't feel like that when we have these murders,
right.
And that's where we are at the moment. Is the thing about knife crime is that if people go out carrying a knife, people will end up getting stabbed, and it's incredibly dangerous. When somebody carries a knife and gets stabbed by a knife, it is a matter of millimeters as to whether it is a knife crime or a murder. And that's where we are at the moment. We've had two tragic incidents where those millimetres have really counted and somebody has ended up dead.
Let's just go back to the numbers. And I fully appreciate what you've said about what's happening and the families that have been devastated because of this. So, as I said to Matthew Barber yesterday, certainly in the 10 years that I've been involved with MKFM and looking at what's going on and helping our news team, I have never known a year like what we've just had in Milton Keynes the other weekend, where we had three serious crimes over 4 days. But say, you know, we've got quote that knife crime is down, but then you've written to Priti Patel about crime in Milton Keynes, and I'm sure that I've seen figures where you've said it's like 90% up. So it is very confusing.
The fatalities from knives are up this year. The overall knife crimes are down year on year.
So the amount of incidents that are happening is down, but the actual amount of serious stroke murders is actually up.
One murder is far too many.
Yeah,
absolutely. This is where we are, and this is why I'm taking it so very, very seriously. But I'll say it again, the difference between somebody being stabbed and somebody being murdered is millimetres. It's kind of, it's minutes in the emergency response time. It really is that close. If people have a knife, the risk of somebody ending up dead is so high that that's where we need to focus. We need to focus on getting these people with knives off the streets. We need to focus on getting, making sure that people don't go out carrying a knife. There's two ends to that. There's the education end, the intervention end, profiling, intelligence-led, targeting high-risk individuals, taking them out of the situations they are in, educating people in schools, getting more police in schools, working with charities and diversionary things. And then there's the other end of things, where people have got a knife on the streets, and they should be very aware that if you carry a knife in Milton Keynes, you are probably going to end up behind bars. That's where we need to be. That very clear message that carrying a knife on our streets in Milton Keynes will probably end up behind bars.
And again, I don't want to appear insensitive by not looking at and discussing the people that have been injured and died. What I want to focus on is the numbers, because even for me, that's involved in the media, working with our news team, it is very, very hard to get accurate numbers from people. One day it's this number, another day it's another. People, you know, you look at the response to our interview with Matthew Barber yesterday, people just don't believe what they're being told. And for you and Ian as the MPs of Milton Keynes, that's got to be quite concerning if they're not believing the figures that are coming out either from yourselves or Thames Valley Police.
Well, the figures are down. So for last year, total knife-related crimes, everything recorded was 1,514. For last year, it was 1,321.
Right.
So they are trending down. But what I'm saying is we are taking it very, very seriously, and we shouldn't mistake the seriousness with which we take it for the numbers going up. They are the raw numbers are going down, but one person killed is one too many, and this is why we're taking it so seriously. This is why I've written to the Home Secretary. I'm working with the Home Office and the police, Crown Prosecution Service and the courts to try and get to the bottom of this and make sure that everything is joined up, so we are doing everything we can within our powers to get knives off the streets to stop this happening.
Yep. So when it comes to the numbers, who verifies those numbers? If someone's saying it's down, who verifies those numbers? Is it up to Thames Valley Police just to calculate themselves, or are they independently verified?
Those numbers come from the police.
Right, okay. So do you think it's a case that someone should go in and independently verify those numbers? Because there's not a single person in Milton Keynes that believes those numbers.
Well, I think we do have a job to do in terms of communicating what we're doing, why we're doing, and showing our working. But the numbers are from the police, and as far as I know, the police are independently verified by the police watchdog.
Right. When it came to the question the other week, Labour put out a press release saying that only two more police have been recruited in Milton Keynes. We spent quite a bit of time with yourselves as well. And to be fair to you and Ian and your guys at the office, you know, even your guy said, look, you know, we're finding it very, very difficult to get the numbers. We had Matthew Barber in yesterday. And he was talking about the numbers. We've obviously got a Freedom of Information request that was passed on showing the actual picture over the 3 years. But Matthew Barber said yesterday was that the Freedom of Information request wasn't fair because you've got all these various different partners and that in the police. So, again, it does seem to be a figure that is open for people to be uneconomical with the truth. And I'm not saying that you are, because I know from your office you found it very difficult to get those numbers. But, again, people in Milton Keynes, people that are responding to our social media, are saying that there is less police on the streets. They're seeing less police. People are saying that they're not following up with minor crime. They're not following up with burglaries. We had the thing in Tattenhall over the weekend where the police described it as a spate. And you'd think after the first one or two that there'd actually be officers or someone actually looking at what's going on. And we had the conversation yesterday with Matthew Barber. It seems to be that the police are reacting to crime rather than preventing it. So, again, just coming back to the numbers, who do we believe? What is the situation?
So there's a local election coming up, and the Labour Party have put out a press release saying that there's only two extra police in Milton Keynes. That's completely wrong. The figure that I put out a couple of weeks ago was 62 extra police for Milton Keynes. That's not right either, because that's now 78.
And that's what Matthew Barber said yesterday.
The figure of two, I've no idea where they got that from, why they felt that it was okay to play politics with that number, why they felt that it was okay to worry people about police numbers. That's up to them. But the actual number is 78. We've vastly exceeded the target we set ourselves, and we're not stopping here. We're getting more police on the streets.
So that's 78 new officers directly dealing with crime in Milton Keynes.
Net new officers as well.
Yeah.
So I mean, the actual
retirement
recruited it's 102. Transfers in, we've got an additional 15.
Right.
So then taking into account transfers out and retirements, the net figure is 78 additional officers for Milton Keynes.
Right, okay, so that's 78 people on the ground tackling crime.
They're doing intelligence stuff, they're in schools doing diversionary stuff, they're doing all the things that we have the police nowadays.
So some of those 78 then aren't police officers if they're in schools?
We send police into schools.
Doesn't seem as if there's 78 new police officers in Milton Keynes.
We genuinely do have 78 additional police officers in Milton Keynes.
And where do those numbers come from?
They come from the police, from the recruitments.
Okay. So do you think that it is a case that these numbers need to be independently verified? Because no one believes them.
But these are the numbers. This is what they've recruited. This is
how do you know, Ben? How do you know that they are the numbers? Because all you're doing is repeating what they're telling you. The other day when we asked you and Ian and your people in your office, you didn't know. In fairness to you, you didn't know. Some would question if you should know, but in fairness to you, even you can get a straight answer from Thames Valley Police. You know, you can see the response on our social media from our interview with Matthew Barber yesterday. You can see the response to the press releases that you've put out in the past. No one believes it. And it's not just a case that they don't believe it. What they're actually seeing with the police in Milton Keynes backs that up, because the police aren't following up some of these crimes. And as you said earlier, to put it back to the families and the tragic things that are happening in Milton Keynes, is that what people are seeing seems to be completely different. And I don't think it is just a case that the media is reporting it more, or it's on social media more. I think the true numbers are that crime is up, and these numbers are just complete and utter crap.
So, well, the numbers are the numbers. We do have additional police in, and whatever the political opposition are saying about the numbers, they're arguing about additional numbers that we've brought in.
Yeah, but I'm not going back to the Labour press release, because at the end of the day, two does seem to be quite low. What I'm talking about is that you look at the response to our interview yesterday with Matthew Barber, and you look at the response to some of your other press releases, and no one believes these numbers. And I say, you and Ian, to be fair to you, you're just passing on the information that Thames Valley Police are telling you. But how do we know those numbers are correct?
Well, we see the police. We see extra police out. There are more police in Milton Keynes than there was 2 years ago.
Is that just because you're walking around the estates with them? I certainly don't see more police in Milton Keynes.
Look, and I agree with you. I want more police on the streets. I know the reassuring value it has for parents, for local businesses, for elderly people walking around the streets. Knowing that there are police on their streets is reassuring. It's comforting. I want to see more. We're not stopping at 78. We're carrying on. We've got a target for 600 new officers for the Thames Valley policing area for the end of
right,
this
year. That's the other thing as well, Ben, that's really annoying me, is that when we talk about Milton Keynes, we're not interested. No one is interested in the rest of Thames Valley Police. We're not interested about what's going on in Oxford. We're not, you know, we're not interested about what's going on at Windsor Castle, unless Prince Andrew's up to something. But when it comes to these numbers, we want to know what's going on in Milton Keynes. We don't care if it's 200 odd for Thames Valley Police. We want to know what is going on in Milton Keynes.
Well, Darren, last week we surged in additional policing resources into Milton Keynes from the rest of Thames Valley, so it does matter. So we had two extra sergeants and 12 extra officers coming in from outside the Milton Keynes area in response to the tragic murder last week. So when we have these extra resources in Milton Keynes, they're not all sitting around waiting to be deployed in an emergency, but there are additional resources in the rest of Thames Valley that can be. So it does matter how many resources we have as a force as a whole.
Yeah, but I think you would agree, and especially when you look over a number of press releases and answers to previous questions, is that when we actually ask, or someone asks about numbers in Milton Keynes, quite often we're told what's going on in Thames Valley, and that's not the question.
Well, and this goes back to the point you were making about how hard it is to get the actual numbers from these FOIs. It's because when Thames Valley look at it, they look at it as Thames Valley as a whole. And there are different segments of policing sliced different ways that provide services to Milton Keynes. And they're not all necessarily counted in the first instance as the Milton Keynes local policing area. So the local policing area is one team, but then you have to add in all the additional resources that are based in Milton Keynes but counted in some other pot. So when you talked about lies, damn lies and statistics, this is what the games that people have been playing with those numbers. And it doesn't help. It's to that mistrust that you've been talking about that the public have. And we want to get over that. We want to reassure the public that we really do have additional new officers. There are more officers in Thames Valley now than there have ever been. More police officers than there have ever been. So we need to get that message across.
More than 2010.
They are more than ever. But since
the year
we started counting officers in Thames Valley, there are now more officers than there have ever been.
Right, so even before all the cuts and that, we've got more officers now than we've ever had before.
That's correct.
Right,
yeah.
That's going to be something else as well that people are going to react to this interview and just say that it's not true.
But it's not true, because people are playing games with the numbers for political reasons. And I think that we need to be very clear with people that actually our priority is not about what the numbers are. Our priority is about getting police on the streets. It's about being intelligence-led. It's about working out where those police need to be. So if you don't see a policeman walking down your street, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It means that that policeman is deployed somewhere where they need to be. Now, I want more police on the streets, don't get me wrong, and I'm going to keep pushing until we have more police on the streets. I'm not happy that we've got record numbers. I don't want to stop there. But the fact
record
that
numbers of police.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the fact that they are deployed in an intelligence-led way, focusing on the things that we're trying to push them towards, is a good thing. The fact that we have record numbers is a good thing. We just still need more and more. And I think we need to stop playing political games with the numbers that we've delivered. And I'm very comfortable to talk about the numbers because we've smashed the targets that we set ourselves. You know, those numbers that I stood on in the election, done that. We've got more than I said we were going to get. I'm pushing for more still. But playing political games with the numbers does nothing with public confidence. We need to get past that, and we need to talk about what they do, why they're doing it, and how we can get on top of these tragic incidents as the whole of society, and what the role of police is in playing in that.
How concerned are you, Ben and Ian, that the people just don't believe these numbers? Because that's obviously going to be a problem for you guys when it comes up to a general election.
Look, all I can do is show my working. I can show that I'm pushing for and delivering more police, and that's been achieved. I'm also pushing for the police to deploy in a more proactive way, so to get out on the streets to disrupt some of these gangs and issues that we have. I want the police to work closer with the court service and the Crown Prosecution Service, so that it really does. There's a real deterrent to carrying a knife on our streets. So what we need to do is show our working and show what we're doing in all of that and build that trust up. But again, we need to stop playing the political games and start actually talking about the issue in and of itself. That is that if you carry a knife in Milton Keynes, you should expect to end up behind bars.
Yeah, and I think there wouldn't be anyone that would disagree with that. And I think that, you know, our audience and our listeners and the people on our social media, they're not, you know, the majority of them are not playing political games. There's been one or two press releases from Labour, and obviously that sparked off a number of questions. But I guess people would be more inclined to believe you, Matthew Barber, and anyone else if they could actually see a real difference in crime in Milton Keynes, the way it's being responded to, and ultimately knife crime coming down. And even though people like yourself and Matthew Barber yesterday saying it is coming down, you look at the instances, the amount of deaths that we've had since Christmas, and it just doesn't seem to match up with what we're being told with the numbers. And I think that's the position that we're in.
It's incredibly emotive. It's utterly tragic. And every time somebody loses their life to a blade, it is a family that and a community that has taken a hit and will be changed forever. And that is why it hurts so much for Milton Keynes and for us, that, you know, those of us that our job it is to look after our communities, to look after Milton Keynes. That is why we take it so seriously. We make so much noise about it, and we push so hard to get things changed. So it is incredibly serious.
So we're just about to go into a break. We'll be back with you in just a second with some more questions. But just to recap then, we've got more police in Milton Keynes than ever before. 78 is the actual number, and knife crime is down.
Yes.
All right, we'll be back with you in just a second.
You're listening to an MKFM news special.
MKFM.
Tuesday evening then, Ben Everett is with us this evening. Just to confirm tomorrow, Peter Marlin, the leader of Milton Keynes Council, will be with us. And then on Thursday, we've got the Deputy Superintendent of Thames Valley Police. And then Ian Stewart, hopefully, on Friday. So Ben, let's get back into the questions then. We had Matthew Barber in yesterday, and he said there's a big role for parents to play when it comes to children carrying knives. I guess that is something that you would agree with.
Very much so, absolutely. Parents have such an important role to play in this and many, many other issues. Ultimately, we need children, young people, to understand the consequences of getting involved with gangs, of carrying a knife, and being aware that there is another way. And actually, the consequences are very, very bad. It's a matter of millimetres as to whether you end up with a scar or whether you end up dead.
But do you think some of these issues, because some of these smaller crimes, especially with teenagers, haven't been stamped on at the beginning. You know, retailers have said for a number of years that police aren't really interested in shoplifting and that type of thing. Do you think it's because minor crime hasn't been dealt with, and you know, people haven't had a brush with the law early on, that it's, you know, escalating into bigger problems?
I think there's always a case where it all does fit together, and of course we want to eradicate crime altogether, but we should recognise that quite a lot of the interventions that we target are very, very tricky, because the people we try to engage, the people that end up on the streets with a knife, are not necessarily the people that are easiest to engage with. You know, they are not attendees at school, perhaps, and they're not necessarily people whose parents would be pushing them towards diversionary programmes. So it's incredibly complicated and not not as simple as kind of shoplifting leads to knife crime.
Okay, a number of the questions and comments that we had when people knew that you were coming in today, saying that they don't feel safe with their children and their teenagers actually going out. That's quite a sad place to be in Milton Keynes.
This is why I take it so seriously.
When do you think that we will actually start seeing some improvements in the situation? Because even though you're saying that there's 70 new police officers in Milton Keynes, you are asking for more funding still.
Yeah, I'm not going to stop pushing for more funding for diversionary elements, so that we can use intelligence to target individuals that we think are at risk. More funding for additional officers on the streets, but also it's the ability for the police to use the powers that they've got in a confident way, knowing that there's going to be the kind of the whole full press follow-up from the rest of the system, so that if they spend their time arresting somebody who has got a knife, filling all that paperwork in, that they are actually going to go through the Crown prosecution system, and there will be a case made against them. Then they will go through the court system, and they will end up doing time behind bars. We need to make sure that the whole thing links together better than it is at the moment.
So Ben, I know that you've been campaigning for extra funding in Milton Keynes. I believe that there is an announcement regarding that.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I mean, we're consistently getting more resources and more funding for Milton Keynes, either through specific projects or through the Violence Reduction Unit. Or in the case of this week, we've got an additional £2,800,000 for Thames Valley Police for serious violence and homicide interventions. A large portion of that will be spent in Milton Keynes, addressing the issues that we have here.
And do you know what period of time that will be spent over?
Yeah, that's for this year.
For this year. So £2.8 million will be spent over the next 12 months.
That's correct, yeah. The part of the reason for getting the additional resources in is so that we can put those 78 new officers for Milton Keynes out on the street and free up some officer time away from desks and out onto the pavements. Because we don't want policing resources spent filling forms in and processing these prosecutions. So yeah, it does all work. It should all work. If we get additional resources out on the streets, we will be creating more arrests. So we need to make sure that then we're processing those and they're going through the system properly as well.
So with what we're experiencing at the moment, as we sit here today, do you think it's going to get worse before it gets better? Or if we follow the numbers and the conversations that we've had with you and Matthew yesterday, do you think it's going to continue to decline?
So the numbers are trending down. Knife crime is trending down. But that said, the tragedy of knives is that you are seconds away from death or millimeters away from death, and that's the bit that we need to stop. The numbers, the trends, the amount of police on the streets, it is all secondary to the fact that if a young person feels like they have to carry a knife, they have exponentially increased the chances of ending somebody's life and changing their own forever.
And are you confident that there's enough being done in schools to tackle this?
I think there's a lot being done, and certainly over the last couple of years we've funded some excellent programs of officers getting into schools, trainers getting into schools. I think we can always do more, and things like the Violence Reduction Unit is a partnership between the police and local charities that does a lot of education in schools and in communities, as well as some of the harder diversionary programs and intelligence-led stuff. So it is definitely where we need to go, because if we target people at that younger age and educate them about the consequences of carrying a knife, it is much, much better. There is an argument to say that when a young person decides to carry a knife on the street, we sort of already lost. because of how easy it is for a situation to go out of control and end in tragedy. So yes, I'm comfortable we're doing a great deal, but I am always pushing for more on that front. I don't think we can ever do enough in terms of the education in schools and in community groups and that role of parents as well.
And something that has been cut over the years is the amount of stuff for teenagers and young people to do. You know, all the councils around the country have had to make major cuts. Youth services has obviously declined over the years. Is this something that you would kind of support to bring back in, you know, to give teenagers and kids more to do in the evenings?
Yeah, that's right. And in my role as MP, I sort of have this convening power to get groups together. In a few weeks' time, I'm running an event for community groups to look at accessing funding through the National Lottery funding. And there are a few groups that are on that list that do diversionary programs for younger people that are exactly that kind of thing. So it's, you know, there are pots of money out there. It's about linking these community groups that have the best effect and touch the right communities that we need to get to that funding.
And where do you stand in regards of gangs in Milton Keynes? Because this is something that's been denied quite frequently. Do you think that we've got a gang culture?
That's a good question. I don't necessarily think it's a gang culture. Obviously, there are gangs in Milton Keynes, but compared to other larger towns and cities, there isn't a similar sort of rival gang, warring gang culture that you would see. That, you know, there are gangs. It's, you know, we're about to become a city.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, indeed. But I wouldn't deny that there are gangs in Milton Keynes. But certainly in terms of a risk prevalence, the gangs are not, they're definitely not top of the list in terms of the way that they need to be intervened with and policed, such as other nearing cities could be.
Something that Matthew was keen to point out yesterday is that there is a direct relation between some knife crime and drugs. I guess that's something that you would support as well.
That is very true. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, drug dealing is an illegal business and is therefore it's protected in illegal ways. And that's the nature of running an illegal business. You're going to go to illegal extents to protect your business. So yeah, the drug dealers do carry knives.
All right, so to wrap this evening up, and again, thanks for coming in. What would you say to residents in Milton Keynes that are scared for their own sons and daughters, you know, that don't quite believe the numbers that we're being told, and obviously people that want to see a real change in what's going on in our area?
Well, firstly, the message to drug dealers is we're coming to get you. The message to anybody who decides to carry a knife in Milton Keynes is we will catch you and you should expect to end up behind bars. And the message to parents is we're taking this incredibly serious. We are taking every step that we can do to get intelligence-led policing out to catch the people who are doing this. Your streets can be safe, should be safe, will be safe. And in the vast majority, apart from these small incidents, are safe.
And when you're talking about intelligence, again, what people said time and time again yesterday was that they want to see more police officers on the street. So do you think that's something that is a thing of the past or something that we're going to see more of as we move forward? Because intelligence-led seems to be, you know, people in front of computers.
Well, the people in front of computers tell the officers on the street where to go.
Right.
So that's a good thing, and we should do more of that, not less.
But the officers on the street aren't getting to know the local residents, are they? And actually, you know, finding out what's going on these estates. And actually,
Darren, I'm a huge fan of neighbourhood policing. Neighbourhood policing is a massive part of the puzzle. The difference here, just for your listeners, is neighbourhood policing is the police that walk around a particular neighbourhood all the time, get to know it, get to understand the community, work with the parish councils, with the community groups and so on. Big, big fan of that. And then we've got response policing, which is the blue light element, which will surge in when needed on a 99 response call. The two work together incredibly well. And we are the additional 78 police that we've got and the record numbers of police that we have in the Thames Valley now, more than ever before, are spread across both response policing and neighbourhood policing. So it's about getting more police onto the streets. It's about being visible, but also being intelligence-led so that we've got officers in the areas where we need them and able to respond to the areas where we need them as well.
And PCSOs, we haven't spoken about that over the last couple of days, but I guess they've got a role to play in this as well.
Very much so, yeah. PCSOs essentially are a huge tool in the armoury. They do a great amount of the visibility, being around in a neighbourhood, and also the bits that you don't necessarily want your police officers doing, which is the liaison with parish councils, with community groups, is talking to residents about, you know, reports of suspicious activity, those things that are sort of below the threshold to call 999, where somebody may well have put a non-emergency call in, just to make sure that we are getting that kind of neighbourhood level intelligence, that the understanding of what's going on in a community. So yeah, I'm a big fan of them too. We need to make sure that as we convert PCSOs to police officers, which we are doing, that we replace those PCSOs as well.
Okay, and following you know, this interview, do you think you will challenge the numbers a bit more when they come out?
Well, I'm confident that the numbers are independently audited.
Yeah.
And they certainly the spreadsheets that I've been provided with as a response to my consistent badgering have looked pretty genuine. I think there's a role for all of us to actually get behind the police, work with the police to reassure communities that we are taking this seriously. We do have additional resources. We would all like more police on our streets, and we are pushing for more police on the streets. But ultimately, this is about what they're doing. You know, it's not about having an argument about the numbers. It is about what those additional numbers, those record numbers of police, are doing.
So from what you're saying then, we should begin to see an improvement in policing in Milton Keynes quite soon.
Yes. We've got more police. They're tasked, they gather more intelligence every day, and they're tasked specifically to deal with the things that we are worried about.
All right. Thanks for coming in today, Ben. Thanks for your time. And we look forward to seeing your colleague Ian Stewart on Friday.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to an MKFM news special.
MKFM.